Blog Talk Radio.
Joining in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we'd just like to thank you for tuning in and being a part of this Bible study discussion. We'd like to also inform you that if you would like to share, please call in. The call-in number is 347-237-4057. That's 347-237-4054. And you will be clicked in and you can become a part of our discussion. This Bible study was designed to reach into the homes of friends, families, and all those that would like to be a part of this study discussion. We are coming from the title, Kingdom Character. And just to inform you, what we do is we go over scriptures, and as we go over the scriptures, we basically just discuss how the scripture is speaking to our spirit, and we just share that. We just pray that we would be a blessing as we open up the Word of God and try to understand the mysteries that is before us. Right now, I'd like to have a prayer, and then we're going to begin. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for your word, which is lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we ask as we study your word and we go through our discussion, Heavenly Father, that we would all be on one accord, Father. Lord, we humble ourselves, Heavenly Father. We just give you the glory. We magnify your name. We lift you up because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we ask you to bless the hearers, those who are part of the for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus. Amen. My name is John, and we have Dr. Suzanne here at this time. And we are, just to give you a description, we had our table, and, you know, we just come every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30, and we just discuss the Word of God, and oftentimes we do have others that join in, Brother Norman, and sometimes we have other visitors. So we do thank them for being a part of this, and we also thank you for being a part of this. We just thank you just for being able to have a discussion with you. We thank you for your ears. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just for allowing the listeners, Heavenly Father, to support this ministry and be a part of this. As we open the Word, we start off scripture with Matthew 5:3. And this, what the scripture says is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. And as we discuss that, we do invite you to share what your thoughts are, what the scripture is saying to you. And as we look at this, we look at that word being that those who have humble spirits, it says the poor in spirit, but those who are humble, they will see the kingdom of heaven. So when we think about someone who is poor in spirit, we think of someone who is sensible to who they are and who God is. Someone who feels that God is ahead of their life and everything that they do is representing God. Their character is representing God. That's the spirit of God. And we should always have an humble spirit. We should also have a happy spirit. So what we're looking at is that someone does not have any pride. There is, who is opposed to pride, someone where there is vanity and ambition. When those things are lacking, it's saying that that there is happiness, that they're looking to reach the kingdom of heaven because of their attitude in life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I think my understanding of the characteristics of being a child of God is seen right in all of the Beatitudes of John. I think that in Matthew 5:3 all the way to 10, the Beatitudes of how our attitude should be, what the Lord was saying, that his followers would be people of good character, people of substance, and not that they're perfect, but that their goal or their ambition, or as they grow in Christ, that they will become more and more like the in the Beatitudes, because if you read, further in the Beatitudes, if you don't mind. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I think the Lord is asking us to look towards heaven, to put our spirit and our thoughts towards heaven.
Amen.
And that we should comfort those that mourn, that we should be meek in our everyday endeavor, that we should be righteous in our way we carry ourselves.
Amen.
That we should be merciful to others as we would want others to be merciful to us.
Mm-hmm.
To show grace and mercy as the Lord has shown grace and mercy to us.
Mm-hmm.
that our heart should be pure, that we should seek to purify our heart, to purify our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful of what you see and what you hear, what you involve yourself in. That we should be peacemakers. We should look for peace and not confusion. That our Lord is not the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that we, again, should look for righteousness, because our aim is the kingdom of heaven. That's what we have.
Amen. 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 So our attitude makes all the difference in the world.
And listen to this. Okay, Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Christ. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now think about this. I think about today's society, how everyone freaks out if you say the name of Jesus, and people want you to pray, but don't say the name of Jesus.
Mm.
And it just amazes me how the world can be afraid of a name, because if you don't believe, they don't believe in Jesus, then it's just a name. But why would you be afraid of a word or a name?
What's in the name?
That just shows the power that's in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's a beautiful scripture. Blessed for its spirit. Just the way we want to be treated is the way we treat others. And when we do that, we're supposed to love one another. And when we do that, then we're looking, attempting to reach heaven because of our attitude, our love one for another. Blessed.
So we go back to that when you said poor in spirit, it made me think that we need to realize, too, that when our spirit feels bankrupt, or that we need that we don't feel close to the Lord, that we are to seek relationship with the Lord in His grace and relationship with other believers, so that we can be fed and filled and encouraged, that we're kept encouraged, motivated, and hope. And then blessed are those that mourn. We are going to mourn. We are going to feel pain.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to have the evidence of sin that's all around us. It's going to be hurt. There may be embarrassment, and we'll cry just like Jesus cried. Jesus wept. But the Lord says that even in your mourning, that He is good, that you will be blessed, that He's there in the middle of that too, in the middle of your mourning, in the middle of your time of being low spirit or spirited or having doubts or feeling distant from the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that He's still there,
amen.
That He is still there with you, that you don't have to be strong, that even when you're meek, all the meek of the earth, our children, our senior citizens and elderly, that even in their meekness, that the Lord will make them strong, that the Lord is with them,
okay.
Those that are unable to take care of themselves, those that may be tender or gentle or have special where assistance is needed, the Lord is there with him. He says that he'll be there in the midst of it.
Yeah.
That those with hunger or have spiritual hunger and they want to know God and that they want to attain, come to righteousness, but they don't know how, the Lord is with them. For wherever they begin, wherever they start, wherever you are in the Lord, you do not lose ground with God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And that you continue to grow. So if you have a spiritual hunger for the things of God, the Lord is merciful and He is graceful.
Amen.
And that He will be there in the middle of that, and He will grow. He'll help you grow. So, and He loves you just as you are. And that to be merciful is to have mercy for others and those around us. Sometimes we don't have the mercy that we should have with us, like the Lord would shine on us, would shed on us. And we don't do as we should, but we need to think about the mercies the Lord has given us. And the Lord walks beside us, and that even when we're stressed, lonely, distressed, that He's right there with us, and that we should be compassionate enough to help others, to have that type of mercy for other people.
Yeah.
And then our pure hearts, that we need to be honest with God. God knows. Come to the Lord with your fake phony prayers and your fake phony behavior when you're in church on Sunday mornings, you know, acting like you have the like you're Jesus Jr. Or Mary or Queen Christian or King Christian, King Solomon. But the Lord knows the truth. The Lord knows the truth. The person with the biggest Bible is not necessarily the best Christian, or is there a better Christian? You have to look at it like that. He's saying that your pure heart. He's looking at your heart, not how many times you grace the door of the church, not how many times, how much you give, and the big fish on the back of your car, or your big cross on your clothes. He's looking at your heart, at your heart. So where's your heart? He doesn't want the false front. He doesn't want the pretense. He wants you to be open and to be a person of integrity before him, and he knows you. And before others, he knows you. He knows you. He wants us to be peacemakers, not hurt other people, but look for ways that we can bring peace to situations.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, I get excited about it.
Oh, we're supposed to get excited about the word. Yeah, we're supposed to get excited about the word. I mean, especially since that's our Father, and he's blessing us on a daily basis.
Amen.
And everything around us is a blessing, So we're supposed to be excited about the word of God. That's what gives us strength, especially when there's storms in our lives. Yeah.
And the Lord is big enough where he can take it. And one of my groups, we were talking about lamenting, and I went back and looked at some of the things that I've written in my journals, and at a time when I wasn't sure that the Lord, I knew he was with me, but I didn't know if he understood. But I knew at that time, and I know now, that God is big enough and strong enough and loving enough where I can holler out and shout out and tell him I'm not pleased with what's going on, and it hurts my feelings, and I'm angry, that he can handle that, because it's being honest. It's being honest. He wants the real deal from you, instead of me saying what people may have wanted to hear, that because I'm a Christian, and sound so holier and thou, like I'm above pain. But I'm not above pain, and it's okay to look in. In the Bible, when we look at David, David did, and after he finished lamenting, he danced. He danced before the Lord.
Yeah. You think about when as you said that, Keith, I just thought within my spirit that oftentimes we have trials in our lives, and there are things that are going in our lives that's uncontrollable, or things that we can't understand. But our faith lies in believing that when we pray to our Father, which is in heaven, when we pray to him, then after that, then it's done. So we're supposed to rejoice. After our prayer goes up, then we are supposed to rejoice of knowing that God is not going to put any more on us than we can handle. And when we have that belief and that faith in God, then that's when things begin to start to happen. You know, I believe that God is looking and saying, that's my child. Now he's getting it, now she's getting it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's move on to Matthew 5:10. Matthew 5:10.
All right, right now.
But we didn't discuss it, though.
Why don't we read it here and then discuss it?
Praise the Lord.
I'll read it. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think it's really profound because even you think about Jesus Christ being here, Matthew being a part of the gospel, while he was here, he was persecuted. People didn't agree with him. They mistreated him, disrespectful physically and emotionally, but he was righteous, and he kept the right kind of thoughts. Did not retaliate, and he was here on a mission to do his Father's will.
Amen. Amen.
And not deviate from that. And so, as being Christians, we're going to do the same thing.
Amen. Yeah.
I want to share something from a Serendipity Bible. You know, I love my Living Bible and Parallel Bible. But this is the Serendipity Study Bible for groups. And for persecution on this part of the Beatitudes, it's like saying, I know for whom and for what I am living for. And for this, I am willing to suffer, and, if need be, stand alone for what is right. I can take criticism without reacting defensively or feeling self-esteem. Amen. Amen. But sometimes you have to just let it roll off your back. Sometimes you have to consider the source. You know, pray for whoever is persecuting you. Bishop James wrote a book about working with difficult people, which is very good. And I've had my occasion to work with difficult people. And,
we all have.
And just different situations than working with people, not necessarily just professionally, but, you know, volunteering or sometimes even in the church or whatever. But you have to be prayerful when working with difficult people. And I believe the Lord holds the person that knows Him, that knows His Word, accountable for that. Because if you know the Word of God, sometimes, you just need to step back and you should pray for that person.
Right.
And then there are times that there have been occasions where I've been the only Christian or one of few Christians that have been with an organization and have been teased about that. And that's okay. That's okay. The funny thing about that is that I would be teased publicly, you know, with the group or criticized for being a Jesus lover. But in private, those same people would call and ask me for prayer or ask me in private, would I pray for them? If I lay hands, would I remember if the prayer was so and so? So at one time I was even asked to pray with the group when we had a tragic event. So sometimes you have to stand alone. And you know,
in a situation where people recognize that you're a spiritual leader, and maybe they're talking about you, if they recognize that you are a child of God,
Amen.
And you're a spiritual leader, we got some trouble. And so he's saying, let's go to the shepherds.
Amen.
Need some help, and this person can do me no good. Let me go over here.
Amen.
Which is actually spreading the gospel, because some of them are going to come aboard.
And then you have to... The other piece, just like Jesus suggested, is that the Christian in the workplace, the Christian in whatever, you know, social situation that you're in, you have to be able to stand alone and to stand strong. Because even though you may be being persecuted or whatever, just like Brother Norman said, then some people are watching you still to see if you're real. If you're authentic, if you're a genuine person. So they're looking at your character. Here we go back to our word for the day, King character.
Amen. Before we move on, I just want to make a comment also in terms of persecution. We are not to provoke anything, any type of strange actions, or our conduct should not be violating the laws of society. We're not to go and provoke that. So when we look in terms of persecution, you know, Jesus says that the world will hate you because of me, but we're not to go and provoke anything. We are just to be about His business, you know, as loving Christians as we are, and learning to allow God to fight our battles for us, as opposed to we going out and fighting.
Amen.
We are moving on to our next scripture, which is...
I wonder if our listener has something to say.
Oh, okay. Does anyone like to comment? And I apologize for not opening up the lines. Please, if you would like to share with us, the telephone number to call is 347 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. We'd love to hear from you. This is a discussion Bible study, and we'd like everyone to participate. We know that there are some who are listening by internet, and there are some via phone. And if you're on the phone, you know, just click in, and, you know, we'll open up, and you can share with us. We're all growing together, and that's the beauty of it. Okay, we're going to move on to Matthew 19:20. Matthew 19:20.
Oh, this is a good book.
Like the book, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Serendipity?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just started using that in our Bible study as well. Now, the scripture reads, "The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth, but lack I yet. Call us if you'd like to share in with that, how that's speaking to your spirit or your heart. Please share with us. 347-237-4054. When I look at this, I see a young man who is saying that I have followed, I've been obedient all the days of my youth. And it's almost like the young man is asking, is there anything that I missed? Am I lacking anything? Did I miss anything in my obedience? I have followed all your laws. Is there any new laws that I don't know about that I need to follow? And that's someone who feels that they have just followed the path. They've done everything that they're supposed to do. And then they're asking, is there something else that I need to know? Is there something that I missed?
I think the scripture also talks about the fulfillment of the law, you know, and in Christ's words, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is here to fulfill the law, not to break it or anything like that, but to fulfill the law. And he's our leader.
Amen.
So anyway, that's the thing, you know, if you know more than I know, then there's no place for you in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm. Wow. Amen. Okay, if we don't have anyone out, any of the callers that would like to share the scripture, we invite you to be a part of this discussion. You are a part of it, but, you know, we would like to hear from you, your voice, you know, in this, to share with other listeners.
You can also look to our Facebook page or send us a message on Blog Talk Radio in the chat room or on Facebook. We're under New Beginnings Ministry. And if you take a peek at that page and like us, you will see my husband there preaching under New Beginnings Ministry. It's a community page about Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We are now on Matthew 6:10. Matthew 6:10. Hallelujah.
I'm going backwards now. I'll read it.
Okay.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh.
some of Habakkuk 1 to 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Titus 11, 12. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we are also forgiven, have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that's a prayer, as to an example of a prayer that's coming directly from Jesus Christ. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is how we should live our life, and this should be an example of how we should pray.
With this piece, the Lord wants us to know, too, that which is really important for us as Christians to understand the power of our words. And I know we've talked about that before, but the power of our words and how we should conduct ourselves as Christians. But it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our earthly, this earthly realm is a shadow of the heavenly realm. And what's going on in heaven affects the earthly realm. We can speak things here on earth to the heavenly realm. So, for instance, we were praying for healing, and we're saying, Lord, we know that you're a God of healing. And we pray this, Lord, that this healing take place and the person be completely restored here on earth, just like as the person would be in heaven. And then we talk about the battling when we talk about spiritual warfare, and that when we see conflicts here on earth, it's in the heavenly that the conflict is going on. But we can speak peace to it and command it and paralyze whatever the conflict, confusion, the works of the enemy may be, and go into spiritual warfare over it. And in the heavenly, it will be affected by that, by us speaking to the situation. So we don't have to react to what the enemy has put down here, here on earth, the actions that we may see taking place. So when we say peace on earth as it is in heaven, when we say that we would like the compassion of heaven, and I'm having a difficult time explaining it without going in or from my explanation discussing it. I may not be explaining it very well, but in the discussion, I see earth, our earthly realm, as a shadow of the heaven, and that all things, that we are spirit beings, and we have to remember that we're spirit beings, and the Lord's kingdom distinction he wants us to do is to continue. Is to continue in the Spirit, is to become closer to Jesus, to understand and to receive the Holy Spirit and become closer to the Holy Spirit.
We're also talking about God's will in heaven to be done here on earth.
Amen.
God's will, not our will. Amen. And we're often, constantly being tested to deviate from what God's will is.
Amen. When I look at this, when I see thy kingdom come, I look at it in terms of the word kingdom. The Messiah reigns, and he may reign everywhere, and that the laws may be obeyed, and especially that of the gospel of Christ. They may be advanced everywhere until the world shall be fulfilled with his glory. And when I see thy will be done, that men should obey the law. And the word will refers to God's law and what would be acceptable to him. So we look at righteousness. We pray that his will be done on earth, the same as on earth as it is here on heaven, in heaven. That's how it, kind of, I look at it in terms of God reigns everywhere. Thy will be done. Let your laws, you know, be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So he's governing not only heaven, but he is also governing earth. His glory is not only in heaven, but it's also here on earth. Our everything that we see, everything that we touch, everything that we do should glorify him.
Amen.
Should glorify God.
And then, you know, Romans 3:23, broad saying it comes short of the glory of God. But here at 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, repent and do God's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I look at Psalms 14:1-4, David was speaking. In Psalms 14, it says, incline my heart unto any evil thing. Do not suffer or permit us to be tempted. Lead us not in temptation. Do not suffer or permit us to be tempted to sin. God has control over us as to save us if we call upon him. Lead us not into temptation. When we call upon God, that he is going to save us from anything that is evil, anything that is not of God, that he is going to save us from that. Anything that tests our virtue, that's temptation. Anything that tests us, anything that's not of God, and we're always going to be tested. We're always going to be tested. There are different trials that we're going to go through. Our next scripture is, we've gone over 13.
We go to 33, 7 through, verses 7 through 21.
Oh, that's our scripture for today.
Okay, and also we'd like to, you know, take a brief moment out to, again, if you would like to share with this discussion, the telephone number to call is 347-237-4054, and you will be connected in, and you can we can hear what your thoughts are on what the scripture, how the scripture is speaking to your spirit. Again, we thank you for sharing at this time.
The scripture reads, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you.
Hallelujah.
As well.
Hallelujah.
So what are these things? Can I go back?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, let's go back to, you know, I love to look at the preceding verses. This is the, in this verse, this section, rather, of chapter 6 of Matthew, the Lord is telling us not to worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Amen.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen.
I want to emphasize on that, that God's kingdom cannot be sought without God's righteousness. And holiness is the only way to happiness.
So we're supposed to pursue the things of God, pursue a relationship with the Lord, just like our earthly parents take care of us, and we as parents take care of our children, and so forth. We are supposed to pursue a relationship with Him. He's there for us. He loves us so much, so much, so much,
Amen.
That He's given, that He's willing to, not just willing, He takes pleasure in blessing.
Uh-huh.
He takes pleasure in blessing.
Amen.
So our chore, what we are to do is to seek Him first in all the things we do. So rather than getting up in the morning worried about what I'm going to wear to work that day, I need to seek the Lord first. Before getting up in the morning worrying about what I'm going to eat today, we have to seek the Lord first. That we need not worry about that, those things. But when troubles come, as they will, the Word says each day has enough trouble of its own. When troubles come, because that's what the enemy does, he brings trouble in our life. He brings challenges in our life. We're supposed to still give those challenges and those concerns and those troubles to the Lord first, and then go on and do His business, the business that He's called you to do. So if the business that He's called you to do would be taking care of your family, taking care of your household, taking care of the dwelling that He's given you to dwell in, taking care of doing what you're supposed to do on the job, not slacking on the job, not giving up, to work as if you're working for Christ. To interact with one another, to do for your church and at your church and with your relationships, all of your relationships in your house and outside your home, to take care and maintain those relationships, because that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, you just do what you're supposed to do, because I got you covered.
Amen.
I got you covered.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I saw a sign recently that was sure to take sorrow down and worry look up. And my wife saw it at the same time. I told her, because it really struck me, I recited it to my wife, week later she said, I saw the sign, I didn't bother telling her, I told her last week about it, but she drove past the same trip and saw it, But I said, you can't worry about yesterday, the past. You can only worry about today. And as far as worry is concerned, I look up.
Mm-hmm.
So I sorrow sits there and look down.
Mm-hmm.
Sorrow can do nothing for you. But if the worry, God can handle that, and He'll take care of you. Yeah.
It's just worry, sorrow looks down, worry looks around, because you're worried about what's around you. And
you look up.
You look up to pray, because your answers are in heaven.
Amen.
Your answers are with the
Lord. That's the way I took that.
Yeah.
That your solutions are going to be taken care of by God. And as you talk about the birds, I'm worried about storing up, a bank account. I got to, save up a bird feed, God takes care of them on a daily basis.
Wow, yeah. God does acknowledge that when we do think about Him, and we put Him first before we do anything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And whatever we do, we put God first. It doesn't make a difference what the situation is. Put God first. Whatever we're getting ready to do, activity, whatever the case may be, pray first. Put God ahead of it. And God honors that. I love to think about, you know, the group that I'm with, and that's one of the things that we do before we even get ready to do anything. We pray first.
Thank you.
And oftentimes, there's been many times when we thought everything that we was doing was going to be, it wasn't going to be right. But after we did it, just because we prayed and we put God ahead of that, it always turns out right. And that's just where God wants us. That's just where he wants us. Our mind focused on him. He wants us to be able to put everything that we do, our finances, whatever we're going through, put him first. And he's saying that all these other things, as you said before, I've got you back. But you got to let me in. I think about the word, it says, you know, in terms of, you know, open up the door and allow me to come in, I will sup with you and you with me.
Mm-hmm.
You got to open up that door and allow him to come in, to be a part of your life. And then once he's a part of your life is never the same. It seems like everything just works out. Everything works out.
Amen. Are we supposed to shout there?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, our next scripture as we move on, we are at Matthew 7:21. Again, if you would like to call in and share at this time, the number to call is 347-237-4054. Blog Talk Radio, we are New Beginning Ministry, and this is our Bible discussion. And we do invite you to be a part of this, so just share in, call in, and you can just share what, you know, the Lord is speaking, you know, to you, saying to you, and let's just have a good time in the Word.
This is the section that's talking about a tree and its fruit. Mom, would you read the scripture?
Matthew 7:21. True and false disciples. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Amen. I want to read the preceding scriptures. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit.
Mm.
A good tree cannot bear bad fruit.
Mm.
And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?
Mm-hmm.
And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, hey.
Yeah, when I hear that, and I kind of sum that all up, is there are going those that are going to prophesy, there are those who are going to perform miracles, and people will be amazed. But God is saying that I was not a part of that because you didn't have love. When you did that, I was not a part of it because you didn't have love. Love. What is the greatest gift that we have? Love one for another. So sometimes we get caught up in the authority and the power that God has given us, and we begin to put ourselves as almost like an idol. I am not God. God is not even in the picture.
Decide on what you're doing. Decide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what it makes
and possessions.
Positions, amen. Mm-hmm.
Positions, possessions, three things that we're supposed to be focused on.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Bible as our GPS to guide us. Yeah. And do we take the direction or do we not?
You know, in the movie Left Behind with Kirk Cameron, and he talks about, in the movie Left Behind, it's a movie about the rapture. And when we were reading these verses, just like you were talking to, it made me think of the scene where the pastor of the church was left behind, and several of his parishioners were raptured up. So the Lord raptured up several of the parishioners, but he did not rapture the pastor. And the pastor was in the church by himself, lamenting and hollering and begging the Lord first for forgiveness, and first asking why not him,
mm-hmm.
and then admitting his shortcomings and asking for forgiveness. So it says that, and he was saying that he did what he was supposed to do. So he did what was supposed to be done, what was the expectation from a man in that position. He preached the word. He studied the word, but he studied the word as a book, but not the word of God in his delivery. He used it as an instruction book and did what he was supposed to do, but he didn't have it in his heart. So his heart was, so even though he taught it and he talked about it, he didn't have it in his heart himself. He didn't believe it himself enough, or have it buried in his heart, or committed enough to the things of God, where he would have been raptured up too. So even though he taught it, he wasn't raptured. And that goes back to those who say, Lord, Lord, who, and the Lord will say, I knew you not. He says, they can say, well, didn't I pray? Didn't I, you know, speak to demons and cast out demons? Didn't I feed the sick and the hungry? Didn't I preach? Didn't I do such and such, you know, in your name, Lord? But the Lord is saying, but I don't know you. I don't know you, because their hearts were wrong, because they had not truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the works were good, but they didn't have a relationship with Jesus
Christ. I think that's, you know, that's important, that we are to seek God daily. And when I think about it in terms of when it says pray without ceasing, it didn't say pray daily. It didn't say pray weekly. It said pray without ceasing. And when we are praying, we're talking to God. And when we're studying the word of God, then God is speaking to us.
Amen.
Also, when we talked about spreading the gospel, you know, and how do you know a Christian when you see one? But, you know, basically, I often say, you know, by the fruit that he bears. You never find oranges growing on an apple tree, or lemons growing on a fig tree. It doesn't happen. But anyway, trees that are of no value, they're thrown into the fire, you know, to provide fire, you know, heat and have some use. But the trees that are of value, they're taken care of. They're watered and they're pruned and they're taken care of. They're nurtured. And that's the same is true of ourselves. But if we don't look at people and say, well, you know, Peter's, you know, speaking rudely to people and acting in an unchristian manner, say, I wish I would like that person. We look at the person who may be meek and act as a Christian. When in dealing with a volatile situation, and say, you know, I have a lot of respect for that person. That's where I want to be. you can turn a person to Christ, you can turn a person away from Christ.
It that reminds me too of, I remember one of the lay ministers from our church, Julie Heber, had done a talk. She was talking to young girls of the church, sat in on it because my daughters were there, and she used the demonstration of a tea bag, and the nice neat tea bag in a nice package, and that it looks good. It says this long tea here. Or green tea or whatever, it's all nice and crisp and everything. But it, when the tea bag is taken out of its wrapper, where it doesn't say Christian on it, you know, then it doesn't look perfect. It's not a Sunday like with us. And that tea bag, for example, as an example, is put into hot water and then pressed and dipped into hot water again and then pressed. That's when you find out what the tea bag was really made of. It's not just by looking at the words on the package. It's not just because the tea bag says, ooh, I'm oolong tea. It's because tea bag was in hot water that you found out, yes, this is oolong tea. And so it is with us as Christians, too, that we can wear the cross around our neck and get dressed up on Sunday and have the beautiful Bible with the matching Bible case. But when we get in hot water, and when we're pressed, what comes out of us? Like Marvin was saying, but what are you showing? What are you showing yourself? Is something that's going to cause people to come to Christ or to go away from Christ? Something that's going to speak to your character as having your being as being a person of kingdom character or not?
I just thought about that. We're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're not perfect. We do make mistakes, you know, because when we look at the word, you know, we were born in sin, so there's always going to be a warring spirit within us. But the key to that is that we always are asking for forgiveness, repenting, asking God to forgive us for our sins. And God does want us to come to him and ask for forgiveness. But again, we also have to look at in terms of what are our intentions. Are we sincere when we ask God for forgiveness? Are we going to go back out and do the same thing again? Will we do the same thing again? Or are we really repenting because we're sorry about what we did? David was a man after God's own heart. He repented numerous times, but each time that he went to God, he was sincere about what he asked. And God honored that.
Amen.
That's why he said, God was a man after my own heart. David was a man after my own heart.
Because he was genuine.
Absolutely.
Because he was honest.
Absolutely. So why, you know, when I think about it, if God is you know, the Alpha and the Omega, if God knows everything about us, then why are we going to go to someone who already knows
our weaknesses, knows
who we are and what we're about? If we're sincere, if we're not, why go to him if we're not sincere when he already knows? It's almost like going to someone and lying and they know that you're lying or that you're not sincere. Let me just use that word, that you're not sincere. And sometimes we're just not ready. And that's what that relationship with Christ does on a daily basis. Reading the word on a daily basis. Praying on a daily basis. We grow in spirit. Like the word is a two-edged sword. I mean, it cuts. And that's why many don't like to read the word, because it speaks to them too much. Too close to home. They can't handle it. But the more that we begin to read the word of God, the more we begin to start to take off that worldly flesh, and we become more Christ-like. And again, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. I know that I'm not. But I'm trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be more like Christ.
Yeah.
Again, call us if you'd like to call in. Please do 347-237-4054. We are New Beginnings Ministries. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of this Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to hear from you. Please do share. And for those that are listening on the Internet, we do thank you for supporting us and being a part of us at this discussion, Bible discussion at this time. We are in Scripture, and as we are moving on toward the end of the Scriptures, we're looking at Matthew 18, 1 through 4. Matthew 18, 1 through 4.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand above them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And I'm going to go on to 5. "And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it will be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and drowned in the sea." So the Lord wants us to be like children, the innocence of children, children that are curious about life, children that are impressionable, that are trusting, and they come to him. That those, that type of person would be the greatest. Childlike quality. What are, like some of the other characteristics of a child?
Yeah, what are the characteristics, more characteristics of a child? Why does he say a child?
Because a child is playful, a child wanders.
It's the greatest of the pureness. They haven't been tainted as yet. I'm sort of worried about it, but anyway, they haven't learned to hate. They have learned to, the first thing they've learned is, most of it is love and trust. And they learn the opposite as they move along and they have dealings with people who are dishonest, harmful. They learn the world can be a very dangerous place and I'm not safe. And that, anyway, children are just pure, not tainted. And as Christians, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to walk away from those areas. We should repent. And
be like
childlike nature.
Amen. Do we have a listener
who
would like to add to that? Hello?
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 Do you want to add to the scripture?
Yes.
Hello?
Where are you calling from?
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, hello, caller. Where are you calling?
We can hear you.
Columbia?
Hello? We can hear you. Tell us where you're calling from.
We're calling from Columbia, South
Columbia,
Carolina.
How are you doing?
Yes.
Do you want to add to this scripture?
Yes. It's fine. Yes, I just want to add a little something to the scripture about as when it said about us coming to Christ as babes.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna use an illustration like infant. When an infant is hungry, cries, if something is hurting him, he cries. An infant, whatever he needs, he cries because that's the only way he could let you know if something is wrong. And that's just like God wants us to be like little babes. Whatever we need in life, whatever we should be seeking for, he wants us to be like this little babe. No matter what the situation is, he wants us to come directly to him.
Amen.
And directly to him for in and everything. Because God said in his word will not return void.
Amen.
You know, his word will not return void. So whatever God says, he said everything in this world will change. Everything should change except my word.
Amen.
And so as I go back even just a little further, as you were talking about individual was talking to the Lord, Lord, did not cast out devils, cure people and all this. And he said, away from me, I do not know you. But at the same time, a lot of people will do things and have their own motive. But God wants you to do things the way he will get the glory. It's all about him. It's not about us. So whatever
Amen.
You're doing, you know, and the purpose of his will and how we do it, it's all about him. It's not about us. It's for him to get the glory. So whenever we do a sinful thing, we get spiritual and we learn because we're always seeking, and we always be forever learning every day until the day we die. So when we follow instructions of God's instructions, he wants us to be not just readers, he wants us to be doers of those words. This book is like an instruction book. You know, it's telling us, giving us examples, showing us how we should live our life. But in the other words, we still have to be a doer of it. We have to illustrate it. We got to work it. We got to do it. We can't just read it. We got to put it in action.
That's a good word, my brother.
All right, thank you.
That's a good word.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a good word.
Does anyone else have anything to say?
All right, thank you.
Area code 516. Area code 803. Area code 216. Okay.
that is a good word, and I like the idea of, you know, that my brother made a comment, you know, as a child, when it wants something, it cries. You know, and I think about us, you know, as being children of God. When we are having situations that are going on, that we cry to our Father because we know that he's going to be there for us. Amen. That was definitely a good word. A good word. Amen.
I just got a message from someone, and I think this is Columbia also, or, well, South Carolina, I'm not sure where. And this person said, the Bible is our instructor. We just need to own the direction and act on it, not just read it, be a doer. How many times can you repent for the same thing? This person is asking, how many times can you repent for the same thing? What's God's word say about that? He or she is asking that. Anyone have any message? Have a word?
I think it comes from the heart. And, you know, but anyway, we're born from, you know, we're a fighter with sin. Anyway, you go to God, he puts food in your heart. He's just final word. God actually knows us. And so when you go to him, he knows, you know, is this from your heart or is this just word, is this your type? This, you know, this is what we use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we look at David as an example. We start asking how many times.
Mm-hmm.
David did this on a regular basis, but he wasn't sincere about his request. He was, as you said, but God looks at our heart. God looks at our heart. Amen.
I think, too, we can't out-forgive God. So he's always going to forgive us. He forgives us from the beginning, and he has his mercy for us. And that doesn't mean but in forgiving others, if the Lord has set the example that we are forgiven, even in our awful, sinful nature, we are to forgive our brother.
Amen. Amen. I just want to say this before we move on, that asking for forgiveness, God does want us to do that. But we also have to realize that there are consequences. There are consequences. When we repent on a regular basis, then after so many times of repenting, there are consequences. David had to suffer consequences, even though that he was a man after God's own heart. There was consequences. Let's think about our child.
Well, forgiveness doesn't mean there aren't consequences, and forgiveness doesn't mean you forget either.
Right, but what I'm saying is that God does acknowledge he wants us to come and repent, but there are consequences.
Amen.
We're accountable.
Amen.
We're accountable to our brothers and to our sisters.
Amen.
For what we do. Our next scripture we are looking at is Matthew 18. We're still at Matthew 18, and at 18 through 35.
I'll read that.
Okay, listeners, we're going to give you an opportunity to locate the scripture, Matthew 18, 18 through 35. Okay, Brother Noah.
Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bind in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be lost in heaven. Again, I truly tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with a servant. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees and began before him, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed. Owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Then the other servants saw what had happened. They were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all of your debt because you begged me. Since you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart.
Amen.
Sometimes we expect mercy ourselves, but we're not willing to give it.
Amen.
Sometimes we want love, but we don't want to give it.
Would you like to share with the scripture? And if you're listening in, 347. 7-4-0-5-4 is the number to call in and share in this discussion.
No, but I think about this, like with our say, forgive us our debts, because we should forgive our debtors. Think about how many credit cards do you have, and how some people don't want to pay their debts, but we want people to pay us. We want to get paid for a full day's work. We want to be paid if we've done, if we're selling something. But some people don't want to pay those that they owe. We need to think about that. We're supposed to be kingdom character means paying your bills. Kingdom character means if you owe someone, you pay them. You pay them back. Kingdom character means that you're honest with your dealings. So just like you want full wages for what you give, those that do things for you want full wages for what they do. So we have to be blessed. If we are blessed, then we need to bless others. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any comments that you'd like to share on the scripture? Well, I was looking at this. The thing that grabbed me more was, verily I say them, whatever so ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
Amen.
Whatever you bind on earth,
it shall be bound in heaven.
Amen.
Hello?
So our actions.
Hey, Sister Love, you there?
Yeah.
He's listening, right?
Yeah, I wanted to speak.
He's going to probably say, caller, because she did the area code 516-803 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
They're going to probably come in again.
Okay, callers, we do hear you, please.
I hear a lady speaking. Would you please speak
go
up?
Ahead, Sister Hello. Go ahead, Sister Hello. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you.
I just wanted to speak about the bind and loose. I'm calling from New York, Long Island.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to speak about the binding and the loosing. God has given us the authority in earth to bind on earth. As we bind on earth, as he's given us the authority.
Right.
As we bind on earth, he will bind anything that we speak in heaven.
Right.
Amen.
Because we are the portals
right.
for kingdom.
Amen.
From the kingdom to the earth.
All right.
We are the ambassadors. So God
yes.
has given us the authority.
Yes.
Where two or three are gathered in his name.
Yes.
To bind the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
To loose blessings.
Yes.
He's given us the authority to do these things as a body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Hello,
Amen.
Brother John.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you. Thank you so much. I
can
feel the anointing here in Ohio. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
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 And I just want to add one more thing about the forgiveness. There's a debt we could never pay that Jesus did for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when our brothers, you know, trespass against us, we should remember the trespasses that Adam did. That went down through the generations.
Right.
And that sin fell on us. But then Jesus came.
All right.
And what he did was he forgave us.
Yes.
On that cross, he forgave us for everything. And that's what we should do.
Yes.
We should look at our brothers and sisters and sure they've done this and that against us.
Right.
But then we should turn around and say, well, Jesus. He forgave me.
Right.
So why can't I forgive them?
Give them. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Good word. That's a good word, my sister.
Amen.
Thank you. Now that's a place to shout.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We're supposed to be lenient and tolerant.
Yes.
And non-Christian.
All right.
We're supposed to extend grace and mercy just like the Lord is extending grace and mercy to
us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Praise God. And we as Christians that know Christ and know the power, like you were talking about the binding and loosing, are supposed to take authority of those things that are not of God.
We know
how to do it. And if you know that the Lord has called you to bind and loosen, to take authority, instead of becoming angry with the enemy, do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Bind and loose.
Bind and loose.
Take authority over it. Because we are supposed to be able to walk in discernment and empower, knowing what we're supposed to tolerate, what we're not supposed to tolerate.
Amen.
Absolutely. And some of us in our homes and in our churches, we're allowing things to happen and walking around with our heads down, like Brother North, and worrying and contemplating about sin or problem or whatever, instead of facing it, praising the Lord for the discernment of knowing exactly how to pray and what to come up against and do the binding and loosing and go into pure warfare like we've been called to.
That's
If you're under the blood of Jesus, you're supposed to know, and you're supposed to have the power, and you're supposed to act in that power to bind the authority of those things that are not of God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, Grant, more than anything, isn't it good to know that God said where there are two or three? He didn't say that we had to have a whole army.
No. Two or three.
The power that God has given us, the authority He has given us, whether two or three.
Amen.
We have power, we have that authority to be able to go back, take back what the enemy has taken from us.
That's right. Take it back. Take it back.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Take it back. Amen.
We're getting to close. In closing, we want to pray, but before we pray, we need to let you know that we are New Beginnings Ministry, and callers, you're not going to be able to speak right this minute, but I'd like you to listen, continue to listen, continue to pray for us as we pray for you. Know that we are New Beginnings Ministry, and our vision is to be an example of servant leadership and evangelism in our community by building a Christian ministry, educating youth and adults in life skills, Bible training, and preparation for a holistic life. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30. Write the number that you've called. You can also find us on blogtalkradio.com, New Beginnings Ministry, and all of our episodes. You'll see archived episodes there if you want to go back and listen to them. We're going to begin to pray. Remember, we'll be here next Wednesday again at 7 o'clock, and we'll begin to pray.
Amen, and we're asking all the saints to join in as we have a discussion and share the Word of God. And isn't it beautiful that, you know, we can just come into your homes and we can just talk about the Word of God and we can lift up the name of Jesus. Here I am. I'm here in South Carolina. I'm here in New York. Isn't God good?
God is good.
Isn't God good?
God is good. And He uses His Word and He uses us as vessels and as servant leaders to do the will of God.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for this hour and a half that you've allowed us, Father, to come and to study your word, Father God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed this, Father God, that you sealed it.
Thank
we thank you, Father God, that we have been in error in any way, that you would, through the Holy Spirit, show us and correct us, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for each and every household that's listened to us and of those that wanted to be with us and those that will be be with us next time, that those households right now are blessed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you're the Lord that sacrificed for us, that you provide for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you heal us. We thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Shammah, that you are present with us, and yet you are Jehovah Shalom, that you are our peace, that you're Jehovah Nisi, that you are our banner, and we thank you for that, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, again, for every family that's represented. We thank you, Lord, that all their cares, Father God, have laid at your feet. We thank you, Lord, that we have made a difference in their lives, Father God, and in their homes, Father God. May a spirit of peace, a spirit of peace be among them and in their homes as they walk through their house, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let every room, Father God, be filled with the Holy Spirit, like a cloud covering everything. And as they lay their heads down to sleep tonight, may they have sweet, sweet, rejuvenative, peaceful sleep, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you will bless these people, Father God, and bless all that have listened, Father God, and all that will listen, Father God. We come against any confusion right now in the name of Jesus, and we lose peace and order in Jesus' sweet and holy name. We come against and bind those things of the enemy that will cause this ministry not to go forth as it has been designed to go forth in the name of Jesus, and we lose God's will upon us in Jesus' sweet and holy name.
Amen.
I thank you, Lord, and lift up my husband right now, Father God, as my head, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for our anniversary that we recently celebrated, Father God, and I thank you, Lord, that you would just build my husband up, Father God. Build him up, Father God, and bring people, Father God, saints around him, Father God, to keep him encouraged in ministry, Father, in the sweet name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Bless all the children, Father God. Again, bless all the households, Father God. Bless the marriages, Father God. We thank you, dear Lord, in Jesus' sweet and holy name. We can begin again, no matter where you are with Christ. You can begin again. We don't lose ground with Christ.
Thank you.
In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you.
Amen.
We give you praise, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Praise you, Father.
We thank you, Father.
Praise you, Lord.
We lift you up, Father. Lift up the name
praise
of Jesus,
you.
A name that's greater than any name that we can even utter
thank
or think
you,
of.
Lord.
We thank you for the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, just for being ahead of our lives. We thank you, Heavenly
thank
Father,
you,
for
Father.
Looking forward, Heavenly Father. And let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. We just give you praise and we thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. We thank you.
Questions in my mind. It's so hard to understand. I taste the dawn.